Joining us now, Marblehead head football coach Jim Rudloff. Coach, welcome. Good to see you here in 2022.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you. Good to see you, too.
Yeah. Well, Coach, big game this Friday night against North Andover at North Andover. So how has your week of practice been coming up to this game this week?
Good so far. You know, we're dealing today with the weather a little bit in the rain, but before that we were able to have some good practices. Some new faces in there, you know, moving guys around a little bit. So we've slowed things down. Some of the practices, done a little bit more of a walkthrough format. But then, you know, we've picked it up as the week's gone on a little bit. So we feel good about where we're at right now.
You got some injuries, though, right? You battled some injuries off of last week and so on.
Yeah, it seems like every week we get a couple guys back and a couple more guys go out. So I think everyone's dealing with that. But certainly, you know, we made it through last year without a lot of injuries, and it seems like just the opposite's happening this year. So we'll deal with it as it comes.
Yeah. Tell me about North Andover. Tell me about that team, and what do you expect from them? What style do they have? And, you know, kind of give me a little preview on them.
Yeah, Coach Dubczynski does a great job there. You know, clear, you know, obviously 3 years ago they won the Super Bowl. Last year they were like almost an empty set spread team. And this year they've morphed into a wing T team, which we didn't see coming, but he did a really great job of making good use of the personnel that he has. They've got a terrific line. Their line looks very well coached. You see a couple of players really getting downfield, getting after people. Their pulls are excellent. Their scheme is excellent. They have nice little counters to the things that they do well. They have something that goes the other way. Their quarterback does a great job making fakes, and they have backs that can run. So it's a formidable offense. Their defense so far has been shutting out opponents, not allowing a lot of points or yards. So, you know, we've got our hands full on Friday night.
Where else do you see wing T nowadays within the Northeastern Conference?
It's making a comeback, but everyone's trying to morph it with the gun. And North Andover does that a little bit. You know, a very small percentage of their players run out of the gun when it's a wing T set. But, you know, Beverly now is using the wing T set. We saw Concord Carlisle our first game. Masco has been using wing T formations. Danvers did it for most of the year last year. And it had gone away for maybe 2 years. You know, since Roger Day retired, it kind of slowed down a little bit. But clearly, you know, when Dan Bauer and Roger Day ran it for Beverly, it was the best offense in our division, at least. You know, they won two Super Bowls running that. So it depends on the personnel you have, the coaches you have and whatnot. But, you know, it seems to be making a bit of a comeback now.
I was thinking back in the day, Roger Day would say it would take kind of years to get a real wing T going. But that's when you're exclusively running wing T. But when you mix it up, maybe you can, you know, pick your spots.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many different things that happen with it. Your guards are fullbacks, and it used to be the selling point in the wing T was when you had kids that did not want to be linemen, you were actually telling the guards that, well, this, you would be a fullback in another offense. You know, you can have your quarterback coach work just, you know, in 45 minutes of a practice just on the different play fakes off of, you know, the different sets that they have and the different things that you know, buck sweep into the F belly, into the G lead, into all the different things that are all the fakes that go off of something. So it's really interesting in that you can get really, I mean, you can spend an hour and run something that to the casual fan will look like they're doing the same thing over and over again, but it's four different plays.
All right, Coach, just a couple of quick final questions on your team, your players. Any new player movement or notes from last week to this week from Marblehead?
Well, unfortunately, we checked in with the league office and they wouldn't let us make any trades. So we're gonna go with the same guys we had last week.
You got to recruit better.
Yeah. You know, so we just, you know, it's,
you know,
it's,
you know, I'm a wise guy, yeah. But I really wasn't going there with you,
no,
Coach.
No, I know. No, we just, you know, we got, like I said, we got a couple guys back that were banged up and a couple guys that are out. We just don't know where everyone fits in yet. We're kind of moving everyone around now. And, you know, we'll have 11 on the field and another 40 or so on the sidelines. We're just not 100% certain who they are yet.
Hey, tell me more about Jack Anishansky, yes. And our player of the week and his role as kind of in last week's game against Linfield.
Yeah, so first of all, Jack, if he has said five words in the last 3 years, that's a lot. He is honestly the quietest kid I've ever coached. He just doesn't really – say very much at all. But the best thing about Jack is just his quiet leadership. He never complains. He never, you'll never see him with the trainer. You'll never see him with a bag of ice. He just is a plugger. He just shows up every day, gets his work done. So in a game like last week that was, you know, Gettysburg, just bodies falling everywhere and trainers running around carrying stretchers, you know, Jack just was solid the entire game. He gave us, you know, we were able to move him inside, outside. He played the entire game. He didn't come out and just was impressive the entire game. He had a sack. I believe he had four. I know he had three unassisted tackles, and he probably had another four tackles where he assisted on a tackle. So he just had a very good game, made great blocks, and is just a solid kid all around.
And were you happy with the turnaround with the second half in that game from last first half to second half defensively?
Yeah, you know, certainly with the results, but I think I think everyone understands, you know, emotionally the team was in a different place in the first half, and you don't want to say that things suddenly got better because that's obviously not the case. But what happened in the second half, I think the kids made it through that malaise a little bit, that fog, and were able to understand that, you know, something else was at stake, you know, that we were in front of our home crowd, you know, how much with all that everyone was going through, how much worse it would have been to then have to deal with a loss. So I think the kids kind of were able to tighten their belts up a little bit and say, okay, let's at least go win this thing, and then we can deal with some of these other things. And I thought for that it showed a tremendous amount of resiliency on the kids' parts.
Yeah, and obviously a tragic situation. Anything else to share with us on that, Coach Redloff, and how it's got to be huge and a cloud, literally.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, and everyone's been great about it, and you know, different newspapers and people have approached us and things like that. And really what we're trying to do now is just let the family grieve and leave it at that. And I think, you know, for our team, they just want to rally around the player. And for the player, you know, I think he's looking for some peace and quiet and normalcy.
Yeah, and a little escape, obviously. Yeah. Yep. Coach, always good talking with you. Thanks so much, and good luck on Friday.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Yep. Appreciate it.
Jim Redloff, head football coach at Marblehead.